You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up, Jake, listening in Grand Island, Nebraska. Hi, Jake.
Hey, Hank, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm not too bad. I got two things. I got a comment and then a question, I guess. The first one is about the Darwin's theory, and I'm a Christian. The people that believe in Darwin's theory, his first couple of research papers that he had written, and I don't know if you know this, or and it's not a lot of, not really common knowledge, but in his first couple research papers that he had written, he had mentioned that whether, in his theory, we came from a single-cell organism, or there was multi-single-cell organisms, he gave credit that there was a creator, and no matter how small it was, that there was a creator that made those organisms. And not a lot of people know that, and the reason I know that is because the guy that goes to my brother's church has an original copy of that, and since for even those people that believe in that, in his theory, it all comes back to even he said there was a creator, and that has been taken out because just like nowadays, when we don't like things, we change them. If we don't like how marriage is, we change the definition of marriage, and so on and so forth. And so people, his fellow researchers after him, have changed that and have taken that out of there.
Well, first of all, there's no question whatsoever that Darwin at one point in his life said he was an orthodox believer. In fact, I have a quote in one of my books whereby Charles Darwin says, "Whilst on board the Beagle, I was quite orthodox, and I remember being heartily laughed at by several of the officers, though themselves orthodox, for quoting the Bible as an unanswerable authority on some point of morality." But Darwin also said this in Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, which is his magnum opus. "When it was first said that the sun stood still and the world turned round, the common sense of humankind declared the doctrine false. But the old saying, voice of the people, voice of God, as every philosopher knows, cannot be trusted in science." And ultimately, Darwin opted not for Orthodox Christianity, but for the notion that everything could be explained through the process of natural selection, working by random processes. So Darwin, whilst he said he started out an Orthodox believer, his belief was shattered as a result of embracing the evolutionary paradigm. And when I'm talking about evolution here, I'm not talking about microevolution, I'm talking about macroevolution, the idea that kinds evolve into different kinds. And I've said this on the broadcast before, but the Cambrian explosion has uprooted Darwin's tree of life and demonstrated beyond a peradventure of a doubt that Darwin's theory of evolution is no longer tenable in an age of scientific enlightenment.
Yeah, that's very well put. And so I guess that covers that comment slash question, I guess. And then second one real quick. I heard you talk before about the age of the Earth, and I believe in a young Earth, as in, you know, roughly 6,000 years. And if I'm wrong, then please just tell me. But from my understanding, you believe maybe in a little bit of an older of an Earth, maybe measured in millions or billions of years. And I've heard you use the illustration of light years, how long the light years take to get from the sun to the Earth. And if you look in the sky at night, you could see a star in its infancy and see a star that's about ready to die and burn out. And that takes millions of years for those things to happen, that as scientists can read now. I firmly believe that if God wants there to be light from the sun to the earth, which would take, you know, millions of light years, but if he wants that to happen in 1 second, he can have that happen in 1 second. I feel that if we say those things about the stars and the sun, that we might be limiting God on his power and say that he has to wait for those things to come around. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, I guess.
Well, first of all, I don't disagree with your premise. I mean, God can, in fact, do that. The question is, did he? And I think that's really how we have modern science to begin with. It came as a result of thinkers like Augustine, who believed that we could, in fact, read the book of nature, not only could, but should, with the same diligence that we apply to reading the Bible. And therefore, we need to be students of the book of nature. And the book of nature, like the Bible, is not full of lies or full of deception. It's a textbook that we can trust. That's really what gave birth to Christian universities. It's what gave birth to the whole mechanism of science to begin with. It is men of science, men of God, learning to think God's thoughts after him. So whether the universe is old or young is a function of learning to read God's book of nature. And of course, Psalms talks about both the book of nature and the Bible, one being special revelation, the other being general revelation. And again, I think that if you read the book of nature correctly, it points to an old universe, not to a young earth. If you look at the Bible doesn't really weigh in on the issue. The Bible doesn't give us a chronology of creation. It gives us a hierarchy of creation culminating in the crowning jewels of God's creation, humankind.
Sure. Yeah, that's some good stuff. Well, that answers some of my questions and my comments and my thoughts and stuff. So I appreciate your broadcast and for taking my call.
Well, thank you so much for your call, Jake. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Next up is Fred. He's listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Fred.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate your ministry, and God bless you.
Thank you.
I have just a quick question. It's related to the what is claimed as the absence of any historical evidence of or mention of Jesus in the Roman history. It was basically something I picked up online. Somebody was answering a question for somebody else, and he mentioned that there is no mention of Jesus in anything related to the Roman history, so that's why he doesn't believe in Jesus or the Bible. So I, not knowing anything about that, I thought I would kind of run that by you. Is that true? There is no mention of Jesus in the history books, mainly the Roman kind of history?
No, it's completely false. In fact, you can piece together highlights of the life of Jesus Christ wholly apart from the Bible on the basis of Roman history. When we're speaking about Roman history, I would first of all mention Flavius Josephus, who was a Jew writing to please the Romans. He very clearly mentions Jesus Christ and the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ in graphic detail. And then, of course, there are people like the Roman Tacitus, who was the greatest first century historian of the ancient Roman Empire. And he chronicles the death of Christ, who he says suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of one of our procurators, Pontius Pilate. Suetonius, who was a contemporary of Tacitus, he was best known for the 12 Caesars. He's also well known for gathering historical data from eyewitnesses, and he clearly talks about Jesus Christ as well. Plinius the Younger, another historian, a contemporary of Suetonius and Tacitus, wrote about Jesus Christ. So there's ample evidence about Jesus Christ as a historical figure in the writings of Roman historians.
Thank you very much. How surprised that can people, you know, we can perish from the lack of knowledge. And that's why I appreciate your ministry of providing the information to everybody. Really appreciate it.
You know what might be helpful to you if you hang on? I can send you out a flip chart that I put together that's called MAPS. And what this does is it gives you, in a flip chart format, most of this information. And it also chronicles the evidence for this information so that you know that it comes from reliable sources.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for your call. As we go to break, a reminder once again that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. The gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. We hope that you'll be one of those that does just that. If you can give, give generously. And again, you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can do it via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or via the phone, the number once again, 888-7000. Sierra, we'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
The Church of Almighty God, also known as Eastern Lightning, is a socially subversive pseudo-Christian cult. It follows a self-proclaimed female Christ whose heretical doctrines incite violence. Denying the Trinity and biblical authority, Eastern Lightning uses psychological intimidation, disrupts families, and has even perpetrated physical assaults. In graphic language, the counterfeit Christ exhorts followers to abandon their families and devote themselves to recruiting new converts, branding those who refuse as worthless. You can read more about the iron rod of this false almighty God in a special print issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
I want to go back to the phone lines. Dr. Willard, he's listening in Alberta, Canada. Hi, Willard.
Hi. I don't believe the universe is millions of years old. I don't know where you get that from.
Well, as I said, people are divided in the Christian camp as to how old the universe is. What I'm saying is that what we have to do is carefully read general revelation just as we carefully read the Bible. And if you read general revelation and come up with a 6,000-year-old universe, all the more power to you. But I think the real issue here, again, is to read carefully the imprimatur that God has placed on the universe in which we reside. I think it's incumbent upon us to do that. My personal view that the universe is older than 6,000 years old is articulated for a number of reasons. One of the reasons is, as mentioned earlier in the broadcast, is if you look at the night sky, you can see a star in infancy. You can see a star in midlife. You can see a white dwarf star that's burned out its nuclear fusion. All of that takes time, and that time can be measured, and I think it's measured not in thousands of years, but in multiples of that, and that's why I don't hold to a 6,000-year-old universe. But beyond that, I don't think that the Bible weighs in on the issue. I don't think the Bible tells us how old the universe is. And therefore, though the Bible gives us God's purposes in creation, I don't think it gives us a specific chronology of creation. And so if you want to find out the answer in terms of the age of the universe, you have to look at God's imprimatur in general revelation.
What about just the basic 6 days of creation and 1 day of rest, just the full week?
Well, again, Christians are divided as to whether these are 6 24-hour days, or whether this is a structure by which we can remember God's creative prowess. Now, those who think that these are literal 24-hour days, I don't think read the Bible literally, because if you look at the first 3 days, the way that they're posited is as literal solar days, even though they come before the advent of the sun on the fourth day. I take this language literally, but not as a chronology of creation, but as a hierarchy of creation. In other words, God is chirologically, or he's showing his purposes in creation rather than giving us a timetable for creation. And that's consistent with a reading of the book of Genesis in general, because Moses uses mnemonics so that people might not only hear but also remember. To that end, for example, he gives the structure of Genesis in such a way that you can remember it with the 10 fingers of your hands.
All right, thanks.
Thank you so much for your call. Next up is Sean listening in Topeka, Kansas. Hi, Sean.
Yes, Hank, I got a question for you. I heard on the radio on the other morning, I'm not going to say the preacher's name, but he said that it's in the presence of God, 1 day is 1,000 years. And when you just said that a second ago, that it's one, you believe that the earth was built in one solar day. And my dilemma is this is how churches get into arguments back and forth. One says one's wrong, one says another's wrong. I've never heard you say somebody is wrong unless they're absolutely wrong, but that's my dilemma. So what do you believe?
Well, I'm not saying that the universe was created in a solar day. I'm saying that the days of creation are given as solar days, which is to say that if you look at day one is expressed as morning and evening the first day. The same is true with day two and day three, although the sun, moon, and stars were not created until day four. So all I'm suggesting is that the grid given to us is given to us in solar days, but not to give us a chronology of creation, rather to give us a way of remembering each day of the week that God is the creator of all things. So Moses is giving his hearers a way in which they can not only hear but remember, so that the information is imprinted on the canvas of their consciousness. And that further is why I explained that he put together in an oral culture the book of Genesis in such a way that people might not only read but also remember. And so he puts it together in such a way that you can remember the main themes with the 10 fingers of your hands, from my primeval history to the patriarchs. So I'm simply saying it's intentional so that we remember God's purposes in creation. It's not intentional so that we have a chronology of creation.
Okay, I understand. Okay, I got that part. Okay. Thank you, Hank. You helped me out a great deal, and I appreciate it. And God bless you for your ministry. And once again, thank you very much for your help, sir.
You got it, my friend. Thank you so much for your call as well. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Casey next in Arlington. Hi, Casey.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. My question is, you said that the Darwinian theory of evolution is getting ready to be upended. Did I hear that right?
Yeah.
So I was just curious if you had any specific examples from science that demonstrate that, because I just tend to hear it a lot, but I never hear anyone kind of follow it up with kind of what's happening in the science scene.
Yeah, well, one of the major reasons that I say that is because Darwin's tree of life has been uprooted by the Cambrian explosion. The Cambrian explosion shows that these body plans did not evolve one from the other, but are complete in and of themselves. So a theory is upended by fact. Not only so, but in The Origin of Species, Darwin speculated that bears might well evolve into whales. He said, "I see no difficulty in a race of bears being rendered by natural selection more and more aquatic in their structure and habits, with larger and larger mouths, till a creature was produced as monstrous as a whale." Well, in contrast to Darwin, you got to remember that contemporary Darwinists hold that hippo-like animals evolved into whales. Now, the question is, again, is that a whale of a tail? In other words, does it correspond to reality, or is it just a story? And I would say it's a story, and here's why. And I've written about this in my book, The Creation Answer Book. To believe that hippo-like animals evolved into whales takes a lot of faith. Why? Because extant fossil transitions simply are missing. They're conspicuous by their absence. And therefore, belief in the evolutionary development of things like blowholes or sonar or diving mechanisms takes a lot of devotion, but doesn't take a lot in terms of practical evidence, because there is no evidence. And then you also have a molecular issue. Molecular evidence appears to be at odds with fossil evidence. In other words, fossil similarities point to hippos as first cousins of pigs. Molecular similarities position hippos as first cousins to whales. But in either case, it takes substantial faith to suppose that the similarities provide an adequate basis for neo-Darwinism. And I'll give you one more point on this same basic premise, and that is the notion that unguided, purposeless processes could transform the ears of a land-dwelling, freshwater hippo-like animal into the echolocation system of a sea-dwelling saltwater whale, and that in a mere 10 million years, takes more faith than any of us should be able to muster.
Great. Well, thanks for answering. You got specific points in there. I guess I would just say that, you know, the Cambrian explosion has been known about for quite a while, and I don't see it uprooting the theory anytime soon.
Well, it does, because in the geological period that's designated Cambrian, the highest orders in the biological hierarchy appear suddenly, and as I said before, they appear fully formed. In fact, Richard Dawkins, who is probably the best-known evolutionist on the planet today, said it is as though fossils were just planted there without any evolutionary history. He's conceding that the evidence does not point to the evolutionary paradigm or the Darwinian paradigm, that the Cambrian explosion is giving us a different picture. So he has to discard the evidence and say, I don't care about the evidence, I have great faith in Darwin.
Excellent. You know, I appreciate you taking the topic on. It's really an interesting debate, and I do like to hear about it. So please talk about it more often.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. We're almost out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I want to end the broadcast today by making a very specific and strong appeal for financial support for the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. If you have some of the Lord's resources, we ask you to consider investing those resources in the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can give via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can pick up your telephone and talk to one of our resource consultants. That number, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Again, do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Please be generous. We need your support today more than ever. And you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Thank all of you for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you right back here, Lord willing, with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.